Be to Jesus Christ and the Creator. We gather today on Treaty 6 territory, the traditional territories of our First Nation, including Cree, Dene, Nakota, Lakota, Dakota, and Soto, and homeland of the Métis Nation. We gather to pay our respects to the First Nation and Métis ancestors of this place, and we reaffirm our relationship with one another in the spirit of reconciliation. Welcome to everyone to the final meeting of Greater Saskatoon Catholic Schools 2020-2021 school year. It's hard to believe how quickly we've come to this point. And we are going to start, as we always do, with a beautiful opening prayer. And I'll ask Trustee Carrier to lead us in that prayer.
Thank you. We can remain seated. Let us begin with the sign of our faith. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O God, of all beginnings and endings, we praise and thank you for the gift of this past school year. It has been a time filled with grace, blessings, challenges, opportunities, joys, and sorrow. While we trust that your purposes have always been at work each day, sometimes it seems difficult to understand and appreciate. This past year has been truly unprecedented. This terrible virus has forced us all into a new and uncharted norm. Let us offer our prayers and thanksgiving for all who have persevered through these times. The parents, the caregivers, students, medical personnel, and all staff who have given their mind, body, heart, and soul so that we all live and work towards a future day of normalcy. As well, God of all people, pray for the unthinkable loss of life and pain the discovery of the hundreds of souls from the residential school represents. Lord, help us admit the truth. In the last moments of their lives, these souls faced death without their mother, their father, without their siblings, their grandparents, their aunties, their uncles, or their friends. We would ask now for a moment of silence to reflect on the finding of these unmarked graves. Lord, we pray for your spirit to help us seek healing and reconciliation, both for ourselves and for all touched by these devastating events. With the fulfillment of our summer hopes and dreams, watch over us in the weeks of rest ahead and guide each day as you have done this past year. Help us return to school with a new spirit and a new energy. In the name of Jesus, Lord of nations, we pray. Amen. St. Paul's.
Well, thank you for that beautiful prayer, Jim. Start us off in such a good way. Trustees, you have the opportunity to read through your board package. You see the agenda before you, and I'll require us to have an agenda passed. I'll require someone to move that. Trustee Stoops, I'll require a seconder. Trustee Biblow, I'll call for the negative vote. Hearing and seeing none, that motion is carried. I'll also ask for declaration of conflict of interest from the trustees. Seeing and hearing none, we'll go on to the approval of the minutes. You read before you the minutes of the June 14th, 2021 regular meeting of the Board of Education. It follows as it should be. I'll ask for someone to move that. Thank you, Trustee Burscheid. I'll ask for a seconder. Trustee Case, I'll call for the negative vote. Hearing and seeing none, the minutes of June 14th are passed. We have no delegations or special presentations or post-meeting assignments, nor consent items, and we'll proceed right to 6.1, which is a discussion and decision about the 2021-2022 budget, and I'll turn that over to Director Shatlin and Executive Council.
Okay, thanks very much, Chair Boyko. It is
It's our pleasure to bring before the board today the results of many months of work in the school division that everyone engaged in, and to present to the board a balanced budget for 2021-2022. As the lead-in indicates, certainly this process was not without its challenges as we seek to allocate our resources in the most efficient, equitable, and appropriate ways possible to respond to the many, many needs that are in our communities as we prepare for return in the fall. We understand that there are probably, in this circumstance for our budget, a bit of a uniqueness to this year in that we have our operating budget, and then we also have some specific pandemic response dollars that are there for a short period of time to help support our responses. And in our presentation, we'll try to sort through that. So we'll get into the detail now. But prior to doing that, I just wanted to pass along my sincere thanks to, in particular, our Manager of Financial Services, Kate Holmes, and our CFO, Joel Lloyd, who have been working extremely hard over the last months in preparation of this budget, as well to all of our Executive Council and the areas that they serve and lead. As everyone has worked really hard to try to come forward with the best budget possible in preparation for next year. So special thanks to all of our Executive Council. So with that, I'll turn it over to CFO Lloyd, who will walk us through some of the elements as we get into the actual budget document itself. The rest of the Executive will chime in for just a few comments with each of the areas as we get rolling. Perhaps the most effective way to address any questions is to perhaps just stop us as we go through rather than waiting until the very end. As it is a bit of a longer presentation, and perhaps it's most effective for us to just pause whenever that would work for folks. So with that, CFO Lloyd, I'll pass it over to you.
Thank you, Director Shallon. As mentioned, on behalf of the Council, we're quite pleased to bring a balanced budget to the board today for review. The budget is $208.6 million, and it is balanced from a cash perspective. We are continually challenged to administer status quo budgets from year to year, as we've done this for a number of years now, and that challenge really is magnified as we all prepare and address and support through a pandemic. The budget is based on $190.36 million operating grant that we will receive from the province, and that is assuming that we are able to hit our enrollment projections. That grant increase is 1.34% year over year. We were able to retain all funds this year, even though we weren't able to make our projections due to a number of students not connecting or staying in their home communities. Obviously, any increase in funding is appreciated from year to year, but 1.34% only partly covers contracted salary increases and other inflationary costs. For our school division, the net operating increase from year over year is $2.55 million. That translates into a change in per student funding of 1.43%. For the remaining portion of this presentation, we will go through the budget document that was included in the trustees package. And we'll start on page 4 of that document, which is the chart that displays how every tax dollar is spent for the school division. Out of every dollar, 77 cents will be spent on instruction, which would be services that of our teachers and some of our educational assistants. Those types of supports are all part of instruction. So, of course, that's our core business. We should spend the most in that area, and that's 77% or 77 cents of every dollar. The next largest expenditure is in plant, which is our facilities, primarily our 50 schools, and that is 15% of every dollar, or 15 cents of every dollar spent in that area, and that is to maintain the buildings, renew them, as well as clean those buildings. And through a pandemic, you'll hear a little bit later in the presentation, there's also additional supports there for additional sanitization for next year. For transportation, it is 4 cents of every dollar that we spend on transporting just over 5,000 students each year. 2 cents for every dollar is spent on division-wide administration. So that would be anything from HR or payroll, accounting, Those types of functions are all included in administration. And then for governance, which would be Board of Education expenses, membership fees to provincial organizations, that remains at 1 cent for every dollar spent. Moving on to the next page of the document, page 5. Included with this budget is additional staff to welcome the additional students. So this budget is quite unique, where the amount of students we're projecting next year is 955 more students, but it is the same number of students that budget was built on this current year. So as we were able to retain those funds, budget allocations were quite similar from this year to next year because it's built on the same amount of students. But we do know we'll have some increased costs next year, as well as some additional support to support the pandemic efforts for next year and support student learning as well. So that's why part of the increases year over year aren't as dramatic or as large as they usually are, is because of that difference in years. The additional staff that's included in the budget will ensure average classroom loadings will be the same, but also that we're able to provide additional staffing to support student learning during this pandemic. This additional money that we'll put towards next year to support the pandemic efforts, just under $5 million, is from savings achieved over the last two fiscal years, as well as pandemic funding support dollars provided by the federal and provincial government. Lower on that page is the enrollment statistics that we provide each year. As you'll see, we've seen increases every year, with the exception of last year, which was a 1.42% decrease, again, contributed to the pandemic. That is a consistent number that across the province, we've seen less students registered with school divisions, or maybe are also immigration numbers were quite a bit lower or non-existent for certain periods of time compared to prior years. So that all contributed into provincial below projections, but also translated to our school division being below projections. For next year, we are optimistic that we will capture back the students that may have didn't engage in kindergarten, as it's optional. We'll get those students be able to come back, as well as immigration is returning to more normal levels according to the province. And we're expecting a 4.91% increase in enrollment for next year compared to the amount of students we served this year. Moving on to the impact for our school division. So like I mentioned earlier, we will receive a $2.55 million increase in funding. But again, the budget this year was based on the same amount of students. So that is a larger increase year over year. If we look at actual students served to what our funding would have been if there was an enrollment adjustment made last year. So those additional dollars, again, allow us to keep our average classroom loadings the same. It does translate into a slight increase in per student funding of $138, or about 1.43%. As displayed on the sheet, we do still continue to be funded at the lowest funding per student based on the four large urban school divisions, and we'll receive $9,795 next year based on our projected enrollment. Moving on to instructional expenditures. Again, this is our main core business that we have. It's the teachers and educational assistants. We are able to add additional teaching positions next year, 21 teaching positions based on what budget was for this year initially. That is made up of 14.3 classroom teachers, 0.7 increase in English as additional language supports, and six positions in student services and others. So that would be our counselor support, a speech path, those types of positions. Overall, support of instructional staff will be increased by 3.62%. That's primarily 17 additional educational assistant positions for the additional students, as well as the new full-day, everyday kindergarten programs in the Southwest Sector schools. We were able to hold all of our school-based budgets, so there's no increases to school-based budgets, as well as centrally held coordinator budgets were at similar levels year over year. Moving on to administrative expenditures, really little change there. Amount of staff will stay the same year over year. There will be a slight increase for some inflationary increases, but overall, it will remain status quo. Governance expenditures, we are seeing a decrease in that expenditure line of 16.9%. as we did have to budget for a general election last year, which won't take place next year. For transportation, we continually see a shortfall in that area. We continually try to find efficiencies where we can. We join bus with our public counterparts outside of Saskatoon, and even within Saskatoon, there's a few routes that we're able to bus together to try to find those efficiencies. But still, with this budget, we're estimating $812,000 shortfall with an overall budget of $8.7 million. For facilities, we've made some adjustments based on utility rate increases, carbon tax increases, but we have adjusted based on actual usage, as well as with the pandemic support dollars, we're able to budget for 10 temporary additional caretakers to support additional clean in schools. So on top of page 8, in conclusion for the overview section, again, the budget is based on $208 million, $672,255 budget. That is budget based on the cash perspective. On page 9 is the principles for developing budget estimates as the board reviews that prior to the budget development process. Again, we are focusing on ensuring the Catholic identity, excellence in learning, holistic view, accountability, transparency, as well as supporting the board's response to the truth and reconciliation calls of action. On page 10 is the guidelines for developing budget estimates. Again, it's based on the enrollment, projected enrollment increase of 955 students or 4.9%, maintaining average classroom loading, so no increase there, additional supports to support the pandemic efforts, as well as the one-year interim provincial education plan that was developed this year to help transition through this pandemic. On page 11 is the financial summary. On the revenue side, property taxes, there will be a slight increase in revenue for us as the provincial mill rate was increased and the board adopted that same rate when they set that through the bylaw process. So slight increase there. Grant-wise, there's a $5 million increase in that. That is a combination of operating grant increase of $2.55 million, and the remainder would be primarily capital grant increases. So that would be for St. Francis School and for some PMR dollars as well. Tuition-related fee revenue, we are projecting a decrease as we're still not seeing the same level or number of students in an international student program as we usually do. There's obviously a delay with the pandemic. We are expecting to get back to a similar level in the next year or two, but are anticipating a slight decrease in those numbers for next year. School generating funds is fundraising at the school level. We're anticipating a similar level to that. The expense always offsets the revenue. Other revenue is a small decrease there as we aren't seeing as much school rentals going on. We're seeing less food sales in our schools as well. Interest revenue also is down based on lower interest rates. So there's a slight decrease there of $368,000. Pre-K is a small increase because of the overall grant increase. And in external services, we're still waiting for confirmation on instructional shared services agreement amount. But to date, we have not received approval, so that number is not included in there. So that sums up the revenue. On the expense side, I mentioned already a decrease in governance due to the election expense. Administration year over year is very similar based on the same amount of staff. For instruction, we're seeing an increase of $6 million, and that is primarily due to the increase in funding and the pandemic supports and the full day K program that we are proposing for next year. For plant, there's an increase of $572,000. That would be an increase in wages, an increase in PMR, as well as an increase in some of the utility costs that we're seeing. Transportation, increase of $125,000 is contractual increases, as well as payments to our public counterparts for transporting our students. And in interest bank charges, a slight decrease, again, based on interest rates and our loans. So overall expenses nets out with revenues. Moving on to page 12, and as we back out, as we always do, all the non-cash items. So when we look at our revenues and expenses, it shows a $6.9 million deficit. But then what we do is we back out all the non-cash items. And you'll see through tangible capital assets, employee future benefits, amortization of our buildings. At the end of the day, it comes out to be a balanced position. This $4.6 million here that you'll see, or 4.7 almost, that would be the amount that I referred to earlier regarding the pandemic support. So savings that we achieved this year and last year, as well as the pandemic dollars, we will restrict this year, and then we'll use $4.7 million next year to support those efforts. Before I move on, maybe I'll just pause there, Chair Boyko, if there's any questions regarding the initial section.
Thank you, Joel. Trustees, any comments or questions at this point? Nope, seeing none, Joel. Continue. Okay.
Thank you. So maybe I'll now turn it over to Janice to review the early learning area. Sorry.
Sure. Thank you. We are very excited about our early learning goals for the fall. They are both responsive and to each child, as well as responsive to the pandemic impact. We'll be very intentional about re-engaging our families. We know that they've been away for 15 months. And so we use the theme of negate mitouin. I hope I say it correctly. It's the Cree word, creating that culture of care and responsiveness. And we want to ensure that our mothers, our grandmothers, our nookums are alongside with their children in early learning. So in really important to us that we're re-engaging families and allowing them to walk alongside their youngest learners. We have a strong focus on early learning literacy using the Fontes and Pinnell. And we're also going to be very intentional about incorporating land-based learning, as well as continuing our efforts in weaving in the early learning treaty education through the invitations. In our 10 targeted schools, we know that in pre-K, our most vulnerable children, utilization rates dropped to only 55% during the pandemic. And so we want to thank the board for supporting our responsive and targeted efforts to support these children and their families with full-time kindergarten programming. Our goal is to prepare them for learning in the primary years within a culturally affirming environment. We will continue to serve as advisory members on the board of the Family Resource Center, as well as continue our partnership with P3 Childcare and those other opportunities with early learning. That's it. Thank you.
Thanks, Janice. We'll turn over now to Terry.
Thanks. In terms of the reading, writing, and mathematics, we'll continue to provide those professional learning opportunities for our educators in terms of high-impact strategies outlined within our student learning model, a foundation in our division, in all the areas of reading, writing, and mathematics. Our professional learning opportunities that we provide embed culturally responsive and relational pedagogy. They'll include assessment strategies to support teacher instruction. They'll include high-impact literacy and mathematics strategies, real focus on small group targeted literacy and mathematics instruction, which will support those disruptions in learning due to the pandemic, as well as improving outcomes for First Nations, Métis, and Inuit learners. Our professional development, once again, aligns with the Saskatchewan Reads resource that was developed a few years back from teachers and administrators across the province. And that will support grade 1 to 8 teachers. We will continue with our job, continue and expand our job embedded professional learning for that is targeted for reading outcomes to First Nations, Métis, and Inuit learners for grades 1 to 3 in a wrap around literacy support. And also level literacy intervention will be provided for those students who require some additional reading support outside of the classroom. In terms of writing, all of our teachers that are new to grades 4, 7, and 9 will continue to provide that. We will continue to provide professional learning that's based on the use of a common rubric that was provincially developed. And of course, we'll look at calibrating our writing assessment and use the research and focus on research-based instructional strategies for writing. And all teachers that are new to grade 2, 5, and 8 will also be provided that professional learning opportunity around the provincially developed mathematics rubric. and of course, once again, brought together to calibrate their assessment in terms of the area of number in mathematics and provided research-based instructional strategies in that area. And we are excited to be exploring and supporting the use of the SASC Math resource in our professional learning opportunities this next year as the province wrapped around to develop an amazing resource in that area. Focused intervention in mathematics will continue for all those students who require additional mathematics outside of the classroom. And we are continuing with math coaching in schools to support outcomes for First Nations and Métis students. And once again, we have combined grade mathematics that our teachers developed quite a few years ago, and we continue to support our teachers in using instruction that supports effective outcomes for our little ones and our big ones in terms of combined grade mathematics. And I'll pass it over to Superintendent Gay for religious education.
Okay, thank you very much. As you notice within religious education, we're going to continue to support our staff on their faith journey by offering our Understanding Your Faith workshops and faith mentorship program and our annual staff retreats as well. We're going to continue to work with our faith formation facilitators and our school chaplains and for planning of the faith experience within our schools. This is the final year of the new religion resource being the grade 8 level. If you remember, over the last number of years, we have added a different grade level each year. We will then go back and finish our kindergarten work, and that way our full implementation from K to 12 will be complete. This year, we'll also be revising some curriculum around grade 9 to 12 in the Ukrainian Christian Ethics program, and developing cyber school resources to accompany that area as well. As we move into English as additional language, we're going to continue to provide the appropriate support and programming for our students with the context within their neighborhood school. We don't congregate in our school division. And we're going to continue to work on adaptations to support classroom teachers and supporting our English as additional language learners. We have far more EAL students who are registered within our division than the number that we support. We support those at the lowest levels of language development. And so there is a slight increase within our EAL budget as we move forward. We are staffing based on a 1-to-60 ratio for our teachers, so that's how many EAL students each of them is working within. We're going to continue. We have a partnership with the Newcomer Youth Engagement Program with the Saskatoon Industry Education Council and Saskatoon Public School Division, where we offer a newcomer program at Edie Fian Catholic High School, supporting those students who arrive in Canada from 17 to 21 who often will not be able to gain graduation in the time that they have left and the language level being low. And so we're really supporting those students in transitioning into the country, developing the language, and also developing skills for employment as well. We also continue to run a registration center within our school division to make sure that we have accurate registration of our students. We make sure that all of the paperwork is in order, and also the ministry does support us with funding for those initial assessments, which is greatly appreciated. As was indicated earlier, we do have a group of international students who also come to us and require support at this time. We're starting to see the borders begin to open up, and we're starting to see more of those students start to register. So we imagine that those numbers will continue to grow. Moving on to our work around graduation rates, we do have a particular focus on increasing our graduation rate for our First Nations, Métis, and Inuit students. We have our ASAC coordinators. We also work closely with the Tribal Council around Pathways to Education as a project, which will be housed out of St. Goretti's School this year. We're very excited to have that move since there has been since Cyan is being decommissioned. We have a great space there, and the Tribal Council is very excited about our partnership to be able to work together, and a lot of our students will be able to access support through their high school experience to have tutorial experiences as well. And they have actually decided they are also, this will be the first group of grade 12s within the Pathways program. And because of the interruptions in learning, they've also made a decision to support those students actually into their first year of post-secondary education. So we're excited to have that, and really pleased that St. Goretti was so welcoming and having an opportunity for them to be served within our schools. We also have Mio Matsielan Academy for students in grade 9, 10, 11 at ADP and Catholic High School this year. We'll also have our Cree bilingual program expanding to grade 11. And we also have indicated in here, it says two schools, but we actually have three schools involved in the Following Their Voices program, EDP and Bishop Murray and Oskayak, all are part of that program. And this year we're going to be partnering with the YMCA of Saskatoon to work on a re-engagement process. They have gotten a grant and reached out to us to re-engage students who have left school and support them in transitioning and coming back into our schools. And at this point, I think I'll turn this over to Superintendent Shercliffe.
Thank you very much. So just wanted to share an overview of the support for student services in the 2021-22 school year. We were blessed and continue to have a variety of staff at both the school and division level to support the diverse learning needs of students. We continue to work collaboratively with families and community agencies to plan for and provide appropriate programming to meet the educational needs of each student, using our student learning model as our guide and framework. Some of the staffing that we have in place to address the diverse learning needs are, so at the school level, we have LATs, EAs, medical facilitators, Brailleists, interpreters, EAL teachers, counselors, wraparound literacy support teachers, our ASAC staff, and of course, our classroom teachers. At the division level, we have our SLPs, our OTs, psychologists, coordinators, teachers on assignment, and consultants. At the division level, we will continue to work collaboratively with school teams through regular ongoing meetings with school teams and families and partners when necessary to support programming, providing professional learning opportunities to school teams, focus on supporting school teams to transition students back to school or to a new school environment, for example, from pre-K to kindergarten, grade 8 to grade 9, or for those students who are moving school communities. Job-embedded support with a focus on supporting school teams in the area of quality core and plus at the classroom level by collaborating with school teams to create plans and implement strategies and modeling for our school teams in supporting students who are presenting challenging behaviors. We will continue to work collaboratively with our community partners to provide support for our students and families. So at this time, I will hand it over to Superintendent Martel to share our First Nation, Métis and Inuit education plan. Thank you.
Thank you. In the area of First Nations, Métis, and Inuit education, the 21-22 budget will support four broad thematic areas, the first being First Nations, Métis, and Inuit student supports and transitions. There's a few components to that, including the work of the Aboriginal Student Achievement Coordinators, as has been mentioned a few times, work that we continue with our clinicians in the context of the social pediatrics program, collaborating with elders and other cultural knowledge keepers for our plan in 21-22. Also supporting our Cree language supports for the Oskapios program that happens in a variety of schools. In the area of school collaboration, we will continue our work on culturally responsive and relational pedagogies, anti-racist education, treaty education, and First Nations, Métis, and Inuit content integration. In the area of integration of Indigenous epistemologies, the priority focus there is on land-based learning, as well as cultural supports, and we are expanding the reach of the schools that we collaborate with. And lastly, in the area of Indigenous language programming, we will continue and expand our support for core and bilingual Cree and Mi'kmaq programs. And that constitutes the major activities within the First Nations, Métis, and Inuit education plan.
Thanks so much, Superintendent Martel. I will present in regards to facilities. And as indicated in the report, we're excited that St. Francis, our top capital project request, was awarded detailed design funding, and that work is well underway. Parents and community and the board have advocated for this project for many years. And building this new facility, a purposely built to support Indigenous programming, Cree language and culture, will be possible due to the partnerships with STC, the vision of our elders and parents, as well as the tireless efforts of the division team. Our preventative maintenance and renewal dollars had a slight increase of 1.55%. Roof replacements, as well as rooftop units, make up the majority of this budget. Also part of this budget are facility improvements across the division, such as classroom upgrades, washrooms, flooring, tarmac, etc. And as we move into information technology, with every passing year, the role of IT continues to grow in order to support the work of the division. The 2021-2022 budget supports teacher computers, new and existing software licenses, student tech refresh, upgrading wireless access, and also regular tech device maintenance. Our technology team supports integration of technology so that students can reach curricular outcomes. And our cyber school works closely with our educational, our ET team to develop resources both for online students and embed supports within our face-to-face classrooms as well. And with that, I think I'll pass it on to CFO Lloyd.
Thank you, Superintendent Brevard. Like I mentioned earlier in the presentation, the transportation budget is $8.7 million. It's 152 routes within Saskatoon, as well as a few servicing Warm and Martinsville. We estimate about 5,600 students next year. We did see a significant drop in that this year as we were encouraging students to find other modes of transportation if possible. But we are anticipating something similar to prior year services moving forward. We continue to offer, where we can, 1.2 kilometers or further transportation services, as well as look at ways to jointly bus with Saskatoon Public and Prairie Spirit, SunWest, and Horizon School Division. As we do every year, you know, we're quite appreciative of the work that our public counterparts do to support transportation efforts. We're in the midst of having formal arrangements and agreements with them, and it's been a great experience, really, to be able to come to terms with what does that look like and work together and ultimately save tax dollars if we're able to bus jointly. We're always continually struggled to find additional dollars transportation. We have $812,000 shortfall, and that shortfall is funded through other areas of the budget. So as we do receive funding for instruction, supports for learning, plant, we are having to reassign some of those dollars to fund that shortfall in transportation. So we'll continue to advocate for additional dollars there to ensure that it's at least cost neutral. As we look to the future, and based on these times, it's difficult to even look past a few weeks from now as things change so rapidly with the pandemic. But we believe as a group that we do have a budget that can respond to the changes that we are anticipating for next year. We have pandemic dollars that set aside that we're able to support students next year as best that we can with the limited resources we have. But they also will be able to respond if we aren't able to hit our projections and are required to make some adjustments, that we have that ability to do so. So adaptability or flexibility is kind of a theme with our budget for next year. Overall, though, we're still a growing school division, and we're still anticipating significant growth every year of almost a small elementary school. So we continue to look at capital projects. Superintendent Rivard referenced St. Francis Replacement School. We'll allow that school community to be in one building when it opens. But we also are seeing needs in other parts of the city, especially around our high school in the east sector. St. Joseph, Holy Cross High Schools are both getting or have exceeded capacity. So really anticipating and hoping for a new high school project in the next year here that would be underway, as well as continuing advocation for the renewal of other schools to bring them up to the quality and the standards of today, as well as address any capacity issues that might be there from time to time. I think everyone in the organization has a remarkable job responding to the pandemic, and that challenge is throughout the instructional side, as well as developing a budget to support. So we are attempting to be as good stewards as we can be with the resources even this year to try to allocate funds where we can support students for next year. But maybe just pause there, Chair Boyko, if there's any other comments from the Council or from the Board.
Thank you, Superintendent Lloyd. Trustee Burscheid has a question.
Joel, I just have one question on transportation. So when you're having to take from Peter to pay Paul or from one line to another to make the budget balance, why is the government not looking at that and funding actual costs for transportation rather than leaving us in that kind of a deficit? I'm sure we're not the only board.
I know provincially what we're hearing is most divisions are spending more than they receive. So it's somewhat more a sufficiency issue, that just overall transportation, there's not enough money in in that envelope of funding to cover the costs. And in the rural areas, they're finding that urbanization is putting pressure on as there's less students in the rural areas. There's costs associated with that. And for the urban areas, we're finding as the cities are getting larger and larger and larger, a one-size-fits-all urban funding model doesn't work. It doesn't recognize citywide programming, for example. So we've been advocating for that. It's on the radar for the ministry for sure. It's just when does it rise to the top and they have the opportunity to address it. But ultimately, sufficiency is the issue. So if there was additional money put into it, it would solve a lot of the challenges that most divisions are facing.
Thank you, Joel. Trustees, any other comments or questions for Joel and exec council? Will you continue with the appendices as well, Joel, or will we stop here?
No, I certainly can. Attached in the back of the document, you'll find the detailed accounts. So the main part of the document is a rolled up version. I won't go through this in any detail, but just for your reference, this is the line-by-line items that are included in there, as well as in the back of the document is the enrollment projections and historical enrollment, so you'll be able to track that as well. That concludes what I was planning to overview today. So thanks for the opportunity.
Okay, thank you for the very good presentation to all of Exec Council. I know that we have been on a journey since 2017-18 where very many of the hard decisions that this board had to make have, shall I say that we lessened some of the impact because those hard decisions were made in 2017-18. And that's allowed us to have the budget that we have today. And we thank Exec Council for those kind of recommendations and the board for being brave enough at that time to recognize that we needed to bite the bullet in such a huge way at that point. And we've seen the results of that wise decision, if I may say so. And we thank all of you on the Exec Council for doing such a good job presenting the 2021-2022 budget. So trustees, the recommendation that the Board of Education approve the 2021-2022 operating and capital budget for submission to the Ministry of Education. I'll require someone to move that motion. Trustee Beckler, I'll someone to second that. Trustee Carrier, I'll ask for the negative vote. Hearing and seeing none, that motion is carried. Thank you very much again to the Exec Council for the good job that you've done. All right, 6.2, the pandemic response update. Director Shatlin and Exec Council, are you happy this is the last update for this year?
I could say that, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks very much, and just an opportunity to, draw to a close for this year. Indicated in here that likely in the fall we'll need to continue with some degree of updates as we heard a statistic the other day. There are approximately 8 billion people in the world and approximately 1 billion have been vaccinated in some fashion. And so we will just need to learn to live with COVID for a period of time yet. We're very fortunate here in Canada to have access to the medicine and such that we do have. So perhaps the implications are not as significant as elsewhere in the world. So we pray for those, for other areas of the world for sure, but understanding that this will be in and around our communities for some time. And so as we come to learn to live with it, that we'll continue to monitor and report back to the board. We also know that it's really too early to predict exactly where we'll be come the end of August, the beginning of September to prepare for our opening school plans. So timelines would have us be roughly early August. We should have a better sense from the province, from our medical health officers as well, as far as what they might recommend in terms of opening in the fall. So we'll work very quickly early to mid-August to prepare those plans and share them with you as they're ready. We're pretty adept, though, now at this point to understand the restrictions and how to work with them and understand where the challenges may be. And so I think we're in a good position when those come forward that we'll be able to implement them, I think, quite quickly. I assume that the overall approach in the province won't be that terribly different than it was over the course of this year, with layers or levels of intervention, increasingly more significant interventions, as driven by COVID activity in our communities. So, you know, what restrictions fall within which levels of intervention remain to be seen. But again, as I said, we're pretty adept at the implementation now, so I think we're in good stead. We've also are aware now that we're at that target date of June 11th, when many restrictions will be removed from our community as far as mandates are concerned. Just for the board's awareness, we do have some staff that work over the summer as well, so we'll just revise our expectations for them post June 11th and get that communication out to the few staff that are in over the summer. We also have the odd small amount of programming happening over the summer, so there's a little bit of summer school in the high schools, a couple of cohorts there, and some of our summer reading program that the United Way and the School Division and Foundation support. And so just making sure we've got clarity for the operations for those programs July 11th, pardon me, June 4th. So anyways, those are the comments for today. I did want to take the opportunity to put out a number of significant thank yous for this past year. If you think back to where we were in August, we were trying to get ready for the fall and so many unknowns. As our teams worked to chronicle what might those restrictions might look like, or how we might retool almost everything of what we do, we're frankly kind of scary times. Who is this going to work? How will this work? What are we missing? Where are we going to be? How is it all going to work? And fast forward to today, and looking back on it, just a huge number of folks to thank. Of course, most significantly, our families, our students, our staff, our community partners have been so flexible, understanding, committed, dedicated. You can insert almost any adjective there over the period of the last 11 months. Really quite amazing. And of course, that is extended as well to you as trustees. You've helped guide us through this really tumultuous time with so many things coming your way and so many different perspectives and thoughts and challenges. And you've been so solid through the year here. So huge thanks to you as well. Again, extend that thanks to our staff who have been very, very committed and dedicated over the course of this year. I think one of the main adjectives to kind of describe it is just that notion of united. The way so many of our constituent groups that make up all of the work that we do have come together in a united way to meet the challenge. It's really quite inspiring. And so again, huge thanks to everyone. As I said in the report, everyone's very tired, for sure. But I think very proud about the work that they achieved this year as we look back and can say that we really only had to interrupt operations on those at the school level at a time where it was just needed to be done. But that the overarching school division at actually city level, we really were able to continue operations with very little interruptions over the course of this year. So that's, I think, a very significant statement to make. And the thanks for that goes to everybody that was involved. Second point there was just the growth. I think we have to recognize that through these challenging times, there's been still a lot of growth. Mentioned in the report, challenges tends to spur growth, and boy, we've seen that in the year as well. Lots of challenges and work and difficulties for sure, and we certainly didn't get it right all the time. But I can certainly see many, many areas of growth in the system. Third was just a real sincere thanks to our working partners here, both in OC and their EMO areas, but most significantly in our local mental health officers and their offices, and the folks that were kind of shifted within health to support our work and the work of the community. Those folks worked just tirelessly over the course of the year and really opened up to working with us. And as I tried to say in the report, really brought everybody came to the table with mutual respect. So what each profession, what each service division, what each area brought to the table as far as expertise was honored and respected. and put together to help make the best decisions we can or could with the information we had at the time, which often was limited, and really complex, multifaceted responses and to make the best decisions that we could. So again, huge thanks to them for the ways in which they worked. I think that was critical to why we were able to operate as we did for this period of time with some very limited interruptions. And then just last, a huge thanks to our executive council and our communications consultant and our little expanded team that we have in place there to support the responses to cases and COVID. They all took on different roles, different responsibilities. They kept pointing to the small print in their contract that said another duties as assigned. that was weekends and evenings. You got emails at crazy times, informing you of things that were on the go. Those folks were just working tirelessly over the course of the year to respond and support our communities and our schools. So that was a really important component to why we were able to operate as we did. And I could go on and on and on. So as I mentioned, we don't know exactly what the fall will look like. That will come. We will deal with it when it gets here and we're ready for it. Again, just wanted to close with just that notion of how challenges are so many and varied in our lives, but those really help to reveal our character. And just the character has shone through for GSCS. Our resilience and determination has been very, very clear. And so just a kudo and a huge thanks to everybody involved for getting us through to this point in such a good way. Everyone just hope that everyone can take a good break this summer and decompress a little bit, recalibrate our priorities, get to see family and friends again, enjoy that, and we'll be ready for it come late August to get back to it. So that would be my report, and unless there's other comments for the rest of the executive or other trustees.
Thank you, Greg. I've got Tim.
Just I want to, again, thank you, Greg, and thank all exec council for the tremendous work they've done this past year. And as I said earlier, reading that that pandemic report was really enlightening and very hopeful. And we have a school division we can be very, very proud of. So thank you to everyone.
Thank you, Tim. Any other questions, comments? I think Greg did say it all. I think all of us as board are so blessed with the administration that we have under the direction of Greg, but with the partnership of everyone in the exec council and the capacity that we have, the passion that exists, the character of all of the people that are on your team, Greg, and is second to none. And we are blessed with the work that you do to ensure that all of our students and our parents and families and staff are well looked after. And that term sometimes, servant leadership, you wonder if it gets used too much. But in this case, it's maybe not used enough. Mm-hmm. So thank you from all of us. All right, the recommendation, trustees, of the Board of Education receive the information as presented in the pandemic response update. I'll need someone to move that. Trustee Burscheid, Trustee Seuss is seconding that motion. I'll ask for the negative vote. Seeing none, that motion is carried. And I think it would be lovely if we would share this report, we seem to have so many things that we post on our website. And thank you for the new website, communications coordinator and consultant Derek, for a good job. This is such a good report and a good thank you. And we wish that all the community could read this. So that's maybe an opportunity for us to share with all of our partners too, this kind of the kind of belief that we have in the strength of all of us working collectively. All right, 6.3, St. Francis Cree Bilingual School existing building and site demolition. Just tell us what day we bring our hammers, CFO Lloyd, and we'll be there.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Chair Boyko. On June 3rd, we issued our request for tender for the demolition of the existing signed school. That's obviously part of the new St. Francis School project. We're excited for the project to move forward. Obviously, demoing one of our schools is always not a more enjoyable experience, but we are able to reclaim a number of items within the school. We were able to sell some of the mechanical units on there. And through this tender process, we're also looking at the possibility of reclaiming some of the timber that's inside there for the roof that could potentially be used in the new St. Francis School. So that's part of some of the sustainability process as well. The RFP closed on June 22nd. We received 4 tender responses for the project. The costs range anywhere from $279,000 to $354,000. The lowest tender price is Silverado Demolition, which, interesting, is the same company that demolished the old St. Mary's School. So it's the same company, and overall that was a good experience for the most part. So we're anticipating the same for this project. The demolition will begin here this summer, expected to be completed by the end of summer as well. That concludes the presentation. If there's any questions or comments.
Thank you, Joel. Trustee Carrier.
Thanks, Joel. I just want to reiterate my concerns so that we all hear the same message here, is that we've never, unprecedented, as you say, of tearing down one of our facilities, but we've never torn down a facility without before obtaining a final approval for a new build. So I'm quite apprehensive about that at that point. Do we have any more information about final approval yet, or are we still waiting, I guess?
Very good question, Trustee Carrier. This one's a little bit different, and we're learning as we're going too with this process, because this is part of the stimulus dollars that the government has announced as part of the projects. The dollars have already been approved in the overall pool of money. So that money has been approved. The only next approval is really for the ministry to sign off on the detailed design. And that's somewhat a formality, just ensuring it fits SA1, it fits within budget, and then they would sign off on it to move forward. So as part of the budget, they've already allowed us to budget for construction dollars. So the dollars are there. So really, it's a little bit different than the past, where we weren't even able to budget for construction dollars until the ministry or the government would approve it as part of budget. But that's already been approved to a certain extent. So it's for all accounts, it's moving forward, just pending a minor approval from the government.
Okay. But commencement of the bill would, if all things fell in place, could start as soon as what date, do you think?
Well, it would start as soon as next spring, which it could potentially even start prior to next budget day. So it's not dependent on budget day. It's just dependent on when detailed design would be completed, which is anticipated to be in the early spring. If that's correct, Senator Bard?
Yeah, the current tentative timelines are February 2022 to be complete detailed design.
Okay. I'm just thinking as you were speaking, when I read this Silverado awarding contract, is there any benefit of prolonging or asking them to start the demolition possibly in the fall? I'm looking at it twofold. It would just shorten the span that we'd be seeing a empty lot. And the fall, like that 7th Street and whatever that side street is going on to George Ward Pool, that's a busy area at the best of times. And I'm wondering if maybe summer is the best time, but would not the fall be a more better time frame to do that? Regardless, independent of what our contractors like.
We could always take that back. The only piece that concerns me a little bit is that the demolition's the first step, but the second part is still ensuring the site is leveled off and is safe. And my only concern would be if we get an early snowfall, that could become quite a mess to try to level it off. But, we could have a conversation with contractor if chose to do so.
Well, knowing Silverado, I mean, I'm sure they can have that thing leveled in the single-story building, in a week or two. So, I mean, yeah, we got to consider weather. But I don't know. I just asked that of my colleagues. Is fall a better time than in the summer? is, like I said, that's an inserting area of congestion. So I, you know, if you feel that it's better in the summer, so be it. But I think we just have to reflect on that. I don't know, anybody else got any comments?
I would tend to agree with that. It's kind of a long stretch between, you know, knocking down something and, you know, I think people are going to be anxious to see, you know, some construction or, you know, something happening on that piece of property. I mean, that's going to be a long time coming through the winter, especially. And is there that much difference in grades and leveling of that lot to begin with?
No, I don't believe so. But we have to see if we have to put up the safety fencing and other things as well. I guess the only other added piece I would make is it's still going to be a vacant building, which has costs associated with it as well as needs to be managed to a certain extent. That's the one piece. The second part is even in September, October, we still won't have that approval to move forward. We won't get that until January, February of next year. So from approval perspective, we won't receive anything different, but it definitely would shorten or narrow the time period of the school not being in place. So we could look at doing that. We could talk to the contractor, see what their availability is, but there would be some additional costs associated with doing that.
Yeah, I was going to, just on Jim and Wayne's conversation, those are the two points I think I was going to make is just the point of that building is vacant. I drove by there the other day, and there's, I don't want to say it's as if, you know, it's sort of a ghost town when it was a very bustling area. And I think sometimes an empty building maybe isn't a sign of progress. So I would think that with the timelines, I think that we have in place, I would think that we'd want to be doing everything that we can to expedite every portion of what it entails to bring St. Francis there. And so I would think that if we can get this done in the summer, or as soon as possible, I guess that would be my preference, I think, from looking at it from that perspective. Though I value what Jim and Wayne are saying as well, but I think we've come to know that if this can be on our own schedule, I think we're better served that way than maybe waiting for other things to impact that schedule. Jim, did you have another comment?
No. You froze up then.
Turn it on and off again? Okay. Do I look pensive up here? I'm not sure what it is. It's not allowing me to do anything. Okay, you guys just have to look that way. I also had another question, Joel, and maybe if the things have been taken out, but if there was any kind of plaques of dedication, you know how at St. Mary's we took the cross and we put it in the new St. Mary's. So has any of that been done or has it been done already or is it being looked at before the demolition?
Oh, yes. No, we've been in there for, I would say, a couple of weeks, September Vard. Harvesting everything we can harvest that we could use in other schools, as well as those plaques and other types of pieces have definitely been saved. The RTUs have been sold. So we've harvested everything that has value for us that we'll use within the next five years.
Okay, that's good to hear. And I wonder if there's any, and this is just a thought being thrown out. And so, as Jim mentioned, this is the first time that we're demolishing a school and replacing it with another school. So is there an opportunity, and I'm not sure if it's a small plaque that says, here stood Cyan School, and maybe, I'm not sure how elaborate you have to be, but maybe even the years, that there would be some documentation that way. I'm not sure if anybody wants to have a reunion that went to Cyan, but maybe there's something that would allow us to document that that's what stood there.
I would say Charles prior to that.
Yeah. So maybe that little bit of a history, small plaque might be something.
Yeah, I think we could look at doing that. Sure.
Okay, anyone else? I'm not seeing any other questions or comments. All right, the recommendation that the Board of Education award the tender for existing building and site demolition to Silverado Demolition Inc. for the tender price of $279,100 plus applicable taxes. I'll need someone to move that. Thank you, Trustee Carrier. I'll need someone to second that. Thank you, Trustee Jelinski. I'll ask for the negative vote. Seeing and hearing none, that motion is carried. Thank you, Joel and Francois. All right, let's proceed to the director's report.
Just a few things, and just wrapping up the year, I appreciate the opportunity to get together with our governance committee for our Comfy Alliance back on June 23rd. And despite the many challenges, our dedicated team was able to still move a lot of things forward. And so we appreciate the opportunity to kind of wrap the year up and look forward to working together next year. National Indigenous Peoples Day was June 21st, so we usually have a Rock Your Roots walk. And that, again, wasn't able to happen due to the pandemic restrictions, so neighbors are still walking on their own, but again, this is a good opportunity to serve National Indigenous Peoples Day. Again, amazing work by our FNLIE team with the first virtual powwow this year, and so it was a wonderful opportunity, and kudos to them for their great. And then just for retirements and superannuation celebrations, again, not our usual year again. We tried to change the process a little bit this year where we had some of the same opportunities for our superintendents, graduates, and retirees. So at the link are the various speeches that were given along with they delivered their small gift. We used the virtual greeting card this year. And we've been getting good feedback from folks who use that process. So again, trying to do the best we can with the restrictions we have. But again, heartfelt thanks goes out to our retirees and graduates. Crazy last year for them in serving Catholic education, but I wanted to bless them as their journey continues. So those are just a few points, unless there's other comments that folks want to make on those items.
Okay, thank you, Greg. Trustees, anything with board linkage or activity? Just to let you know that I attended this past week the Saskatchewan High School Athletic Association AGM. So we are in partnership with our sister board here in Saskatoon Public. So every year we alternate. So if they are sending a superintendent, we send a trustee, and if vice versa on the next year. So this was an online AGM that they had. I don't foresee any big decisions that were being made at that table, but I know that 27 school boards across the province, the athletic and extracurricular coaches are very anxious to get back to somewhat of a normalcy, and it was very good because they thanked all the boards for taking care of their students as well as them as an association and in the meaningful way that we had to deal with things. So that was a good meeting. Also, I wanted to make note that on Friday, the Saskatchewan-Nutana Rotary Partnership with St. Francis, with our arts and cultural and presentation programs, under the emceeing of the Superintendent Martel, we had a beautiful outdoor signing with the Rotary, and this is $100,000 over 5 years commitment that they'll be making to the arts and cultural component of St. Francis. So a very, very good partnership, and we're all excited what this means about carrying forth the Truth and Reconciliation calls to action, as are the Rotary. So that was a very nice event that occurred on that morning.
Who was the fellow sitting at the end on the inside side? Who's the other fellow?
He's the president of their Rotary Club, Lauren Braithwaite. Is the same thing? Yeah. And so, yeah, it was a very good, and, you know, I don't know if you happened to see CJ speak, one of the mothers. Mm-hmm. She was just excellent, and just the passion that she has for the program and the lobbying for St. Francis, and with her four children around her, it was a very powerful, powerful moment. So it was a very, very good day. All right, we don't have any Catholic School Community Council. I'm sure they're all happy to have holidays now, too, and convention reports. Let's go right to joint operations with Trustee Burscheid and Seuss.
Nothing since the last meeting, and we meet again in October.
Thank you for both of you for continuing to serve on that committee. Together in Faith and Action, Trustees Jelinski and Biblow, anything to tell us?
Nothing to report here.
Okay, thank you again for your work on this committee. Greater Saskatoon Catholic Schools Foundation, Trustees Zakreski, Rebecca, and Elliott.
Not a whole lot to report, just that our next meeting will be in September and the golf tournament in August is still going to happen.
Okay, that's excellent.
May I just comment, Foundation? The annual report is so well done. And if you haven't seen it, trustees, there's a beautiful in memoriam to Alice Riesling in that copy. So I'd invite you to read that. So well done, folks.
Good. Thank you, Tim. And thank you, Benita and Sharon. The Mamau Kamatuan and Saskatoon Tribal Council Partnership, we haven't met formally for a few months, but we've done our met in our the components of meetings that we have. We have met with them, and we'll continue to do good work with the Tribal Council. The CUMFI and GSCS Education Alliance, as Greg mentioned, we had a good meeting there. And, you know, when our staff, when they present, we've got some just excellent people that have been doing such good work. And I know that the leadership from CUMFI, Shirley and Evelyn, are always so pleased with all the good work that continues to happen at that alliance table. So kudos to our First Nation, Métis, and Indian team for all the good work that they do. The Saskatchewan Catholic School Boards Association, Trustee Jelinski.
Nothing to report at this stage. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. The Saskatchewan School Boards Association. So, we, as you all know, you receive a report once a week on Thursdays for our board chair council meeting with the Saskatchewan School Boards Association. And we will be taking off July and hopefully giving everybody, our administrators, as well as the SSBA staff and our president, Sean Davidson, some time off from all the work that they've had to do during this pandemic has been quite incredible. And you know, Greg mentions the work that we do within our own school division and the expertise that we have here. And I would say the same thing for the Saskatchewan School Boards Association under Darren McGee, who's the executive director there, and of course our president, Sean Davidson, the work that they've had to do over and above anything that probably some of us can imagine. Being on call 24/7, trying to work through everything, and so they've done, I think, an incredible job dealing with the circumstance that was new to all of us every single day. And so I will offer, I guess, our respect and congratulations to them for doing the good job that they do. So we'll be getting together once again the first week of August, and so you can expect something then. All right. Well, that leaves us with the end of the meeting. I think on behalf of all of us, is it possible for all of Exec Council to put their pictures up and trustees and everything so we can kind of see each other at the last meeting?
And could you remind me who took us out of committee? I think it was Deb is what I had, but I just wanted to make sure. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to say on behalf of all of us how much the board has appreciated all of the good work that Greg and Exec Council has done in a normal year, but in such an extraordinary year, the extraordinary work that all of you brought to the table and worked on so hard and found solutions that sometimes somehow seemed impossible was quite incredible. And we've gone through the pandemic in a way that you can all be proud of, knowing that the people that you have in place, the structures that you had in place, the nimbleness that you all exhibited when you had to was quite incredible. And the board, we watched and we were informed and we offered suggestions, and there weren't many of those because you seemed to have a pulse on what was going on and what we needed to have done. That passion and the character that all of you displayed, the capacity that you all have, has served us so well within this school division. And, you know, the caring that you have for 50 schools, that you have for 2,000 staff and 20,000 students, I think the magnitude of that has not been lost on us as a board, but we know that it hasn't been lost on community. And I think if there was ever a time when people were feeling that valued. I hope that it's during this time when we were tested to the max and that we have that opportunity as a community to see how important education is, to see how valued teachers and support staff are. And I know that it was because of the work that all of you were doing to be able to give everyone a sense of we're in this together. And that parents, you know, I know all of us as trustees also would receive letters or phone calls that would speak to that. And, you know, sometimes it's the hardest ones are the ones that find that their challenges manifest themselves sometimes in such a hard, tough way to deal with. And those are the ones we also care about. But it's the ones we know that, you know, if things are going well, sometimes people are silent. But I think we also got that silent majority also made themselves known. And so all of you, you know, have worked so hard to ensure that this school division is so well served through the Truth and Reconciliation and calls to action. And now we're being called to be greater than all the things that we ever imagined possible. And all of the work that's been done that's led us up to the finding of all of those unmarked graves, all of that work that has been done in the past, your support in this capacity, the listening that has gone on with our First Nation and Métis brothers and sisters has stood us in good stead. And the respect that this school division has is, it didn't happen overnight. And it was because it was cultivated and it was the love and caring and compassion and the listening, most importantly, is what this school division has always done. And under your leadership, that has filtered down to all of our schools and all of our staff. So we also want to say thank you so much for all of the work that you've done on that capacity. We look forward to the work of St. Francis, that we're going to be having a new school, and all of you have done great service, sometimes off the side of your desk in some capacities. And thank you for doing all of that work. So I know that all of us on the board wish you a blessed, blessed summer, and that you will have some time to regenerate and rejuvenate. And hopefully, I almost want to say, could you all just leave your phones at the office for a couple of weeks to really give yourselves a rest? But I know that you're going to find a way that will allow you to reconnect in so many ways with your families, with your children, your grandchildren, if you have any, and will allow you to find some time to search your soul and know that you've done such a good job. And we raise a toast to you in spirit, and God bless all of you, and have a wonderful summer. These 6 weeks are going to go quick. I don't want to put that down either. It'll seem like we just saw each other yesterday when we come back in August. But know that from all of us, we wish you God's blessings, and thank you from the bottom of our hearts. I also want to wish Daryl a happy journey on his next adventure. We will miss you very much, and we feel very blessed that you are part of our team and our family, and you'll always hold a very special place in our heart. Yes, thank you, Donna. That's it. That all of us, I've been so blessed to have worked with Daryl. I'm not sure, is he running up the stairs right now, or are you still online? Because I had asked him to come up when we were...
He's still online.
Is he still online? Yeah. See how
I'm online. Come up.
All right, trustees. Well, while we'll continue with fellowship after the meeting's done, but in a beautiful way that we always have, we begin our meetings with prayer and we end them with prayer. And we are thankful for all of us being here together. And we'll ask Jim to say the last prayer of the 2020-2021 school year.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O Lord, as we come to the end of this school year, we voice our gratitude for the good things you have done in us, and we praise you for all you have shared in the work of educating our children. Have a great and blessed summer. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
And I'll require someone to adjourn the meeting. Thank you, Trustee Burnside. God bless everyone. Have a wonderful summer.